Welcome to For the Sake of Your Eyes on Connect FM, time that we spend with Dr. Wendy Strauss-Watt of the Du Bois Vision Clinic talking about eye health. And Dr. Wendy, it's great to have you with us once again. Good morning.
Good morning.
And today the topic is diabetes and eye health. And of course, diabetes is a common ailment in the United States. Could you tell us more?
Sure. Diabetes is a disease that affects the body's ability to produce or use insulin effectively to control the blood sugar or glucose levels. Although glucose is an important source of energy for the body's cells, too much glucose in the blood for a long time can cause damage in many parts of the body, including the heart, kidneys, blood vessels, and the small blood vessels in the eyes. When the blood vessels in the eye's retina, the light-sensitive tissue lining the back of the eye, swell, leak, or close off completely, or if abnormal new blood vessels grow on the surface of the retina, it's called diabetic retinopathy. Mm. And people who are at greater risk of developing diabetic retinopathy are those who have diabetes or poor blood sugar control, women who are pregnant, or people with high blood pressure, high blood lipids, or both. Also, people from certain ethnic groups, such as African Americans, Hispanics, and Native Americans, are more likely to develop diabetic retinopathy. In fact, a new study confirmed that diabetes is a top risk factor for vision loss among Hispanics. Mm. Something to remember, though, is that diabetes can cause vision in your eyes to change, even if you don't have retinopathy.
Okay.
If your blood sugar levels change quickly, it can cause or can affect the shape of your eyes lens, causing blurry vision, which goes back to normal after your blood sugar stabilizes, and maintaining good control of your blood sugar helps reduce episodes of blurry vision. So a lot of times diabetics are actually diagnosed in the eye doctor's office.
Oh, yeah. That's where they start seeing the initial signs of that. So
Yes. You
have introduced us to this diabetic retinopathy. Could you give us some more details on that?
Sure. It occurs when the blood vessels in the retina change. Sometimes these blood vessels will swell and leak fluid, causing blurred vision, or even close off completely. In other cases, abnormal blood vessels will grow on the surface of the retina. So every hour, 80% of the blood goes through your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And you hear about kidneys and diabetics because the kidney and the retina need a lot of blood and a lot of oxygen.
Okay.
And the problem is, if the eye does not get enough oxygen, these abnormal blood vessels grow. There's a factor that turns them on, and they're weak, and they're curly, and they bleed.
Right.
And when you get bleeding, you get scar tissue.
Right.
So the retina is a thin layer of light-sensitive tissue that lines the back of the eye. Light rays are focused onto the retina, where they are transmitted to the brain and interpreted as the images you see. The macula is a very small area at the center of the retina. It's about the size of the tip of a pencil, or the eraser of a pencil.
Mm-hmm.
And light rays are focused on the retina, and that information is taken to the brain. So the macula is the dead center, and it's responsible for your pinpoint vision, allowing you to read, recognize a face, and see detail. The surrounding part of the retina is called the peripheral retina, and it's responsible for your side vision.
Hmm.
Diabetic retinopathy usually affects both eyes. People who have diabetic retinopathy often don't recognize changes in their vision in the early stages of the disease, but as it progresses, diabetic retinopathy usually causes vision loss, and in many cases, it can't be reversed. When blood sugar levels are too high for an extended period of time, it can damage capillaries, which are tiny blood vessels that supply blood to the retina. Over time, these blood vessels begin to leak fluids and fats, causing edema or swelling. Eventually, these vessels can close off, called ischemia, meaning that there's no blood flow getting to the retina.
Mm-hmm.
And these problems are signs of non-proliferative diabetic retinopathy. And non-proliferative means there's no new blood vessels growing, but there are changes to the retina. We used to call it background diabetic retinopathy.
Okay.
As the diabetic eye problems are left untreated, all of this can develop. Now, with the A1C, it's a better control of even watching your blood sugar, taking your blood sugar quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why you hear on a lot of the ads, you know, keeping your sugar down and,
right.
and preserving your vision. But blocked blood vessels from ischemia can lead to the growth of new abnormal blood vessels. And that's called neovascularization, which can damage the retina by causing wrinkling or a retinal detachment. Neovascularization can even lead to glaucoma, changes to the optic nerve that carry the images from your eye to the brain. And there are two different types of diabetic retinopathy. As I said, we called it background, or it's also called non-proliferative diabetic retinopathy, and we use the initials, the capital initials, NPDR. And it's the earliest stage of diabetic retinopathy. And with this condition, the damaged blood vessels in the retina begin to leak extra fluid and small amounts of blood in the eye. Sometimes there's deposits of cholesterol or fats that come out of the blood, and we call that exudate. And that leaks into the retina too. So the changes in the eye include microaneurysms. They're small bulges in the blood vessels of the retina, and they leak. They leak fluid typically. You can have retinal hemorrhages, which are tiny spots of blood that leak into the retina. And we call them dot and blot because they're round and typically, and some are small and some are bigger. Hard exudates are deposits of cholesterol or other fats from the blood that have leaked into the retina. Macular edema is swelling or thickening of the macula caused by the fluid leaking from the retinal blood vessels. The macula doesn't function properly when it's swollen, and macular edema is the most common cause of vision loss in diabetes. And we see a shift in vision. And a lot of times it's a myopic shift. People become more nearsighted because the retina is thicker.
I see.
But it's also kind of like looking out through a fishbowl.
Okay.
You know, you can see, but there's something in the way. And it just the watery appearance precludes things. And then there's also macular ischemia, which the small blood vessels or capillaries close. When they close, there's no blood getting to the tissue, and your vision blurs because the macula no longer receives enough blood to work properly. Many people with diabetes have mild NPDR, which usually doesn't affect their vision. However, if their vision is effective, it's a result of macular edema and macular ischemia.
All right. Now, that's a summary of the background or the non-proliferative diabetic retinopathy, or NPDR. You said there are two types of diabetic retinopathy, and I see here the other one is proliferative diabetic retinopathy. Tell us more about that.
What mainly occurs when the blood vessels in the retina close, preventing even or enough blood flow. In an attempt to supply blood to the area where the original vessels closed, the retina responds by growing new blood vessels. And as I said, it's called neovascularization. These new blood vessels are abnormal and don't supply the retina with proper blood flow. The new blood vessels are also accompanied by scar tissue that may cause the retina to wrinkle and detach. Now, typically, after your diabetic 10 to 15 years, regardless of your control, you can be susceptible to the proliferative diabetic retinopathy.
All right.
And it causes more severe vision loss than the other form because it can affect both central and peripheral vision. And it affects the vision with vitreous hemorrhages, which are delicate blood vessels that bleed into the vitreous. The vitreous is the fluid that keeps the eye round. And that's where you get floaters that we've talked about in the past. It's the gel in the center of the eye, and it prevents light rays from reaching the retina. If the vitreous hemorrhage is small, you may see a few new dark floaters. A very large hemorrhage might block out all the vision, allowing you to perceive only light and dark. Vitreous hemorrhage alone does not cause permanent vision loss, and when the blood clears, your vision may return to its former level unless the macula has been damaged. And in the 80s, when I was going through school and doing work at the Laurel Eye Clinic, they were doing a lot of vitrectomies for that because they some of the blood will resorb, but if you get so much, it won't. It gets hard and it won't resorb. So then they would take the vitreous out and put a synthetic fluid in. And they did a lot of those surgeries. The other things that can happen are traction retinal detachment. Scar tissue from neovascularization shrinks, causing the retina to wrinkle and pull from its abnormal position. The wrinkling can distort your vision, and more severe vision loss can occur if the macula or large areas of the retina are detached. The other thing is neovascular glaucoma, which is a very painful type of glaucoma. And if a number of those retinal vessels are closed, neovascularization can occur in the iris, which is the colored part of the eye. In this condition, the blood vessels may block the normal flow of fluid out of the eye. Pressure builds up in the eye, and it's a particularly severe condition that causes damage to the optic nerve.
Okay. Dr. Wendy Strauss-Watt of the DuBois Vision Clinic giving us information, a wealth of information about diabetics and their eye health. And we will have more on that topic as For the Sake of Your Eyes continues on Connect FM after these important messages.
This is Dr. Wendy Strauss-Watt with an eye care message for the sake of your eyes. Vision directly affects how you learn. 80% of all learning during a child's early school years is obtained through vision. 10% of all preschoolers and 25% of kids in kindergarten through sixth grade have vision deficiencies. Many of them are undetected because few children receive comprehensive eye exams. School screenings only pick up 5% of all vision problems. Don't delay. Make an appointment for your child today. Dr. Wendy Strauss-Watt, DuBois Vision Clinic, 90 Beaver Drive, DuBois, 371-2020. This is Dr. Wendy Strauss-Watt with an eye care message for the sake of your eyes. Driving at night is more demanding and stressful than daytime driving. Make sure that your eyes are examined regularly and wear up-to-date glasses or contacts. Keep the windshield clean inside and out and make sure your car lights are clean and working properly. Glare during night driving especially affects older drivers. Don't delay. Make an appointment today. Dr. Wendy Strauss-Watt, DuBois Vision Clinic, 90 Beaver Drive, DuBois, 371-2020.
Dr. Wendy, as we discuss eye health for diabetics, tell us about the symptoms that you would see for someone that has diabetic retinopathy.
Some people might not even be aware that they have it, since the early stages don't often have symptoms. But as the disease progresses, diabetic retinopathy symptoms can include spots, dots, or cob-like dark strings floating in your vision, which are floaters, blurry vision, vision that changes periodically from blurry to clear, blank or dark areas in your field of vision, poor night vision, colors appearing washed out or look different, and vision loss. Diabetic retinopathy usually affects both eyes. And recently I had a patient in that she had no idea she was even diabetic, but she had seen something in front of the one eye.
Oh.
And as we tested and we took pictures, there it was. Hmm. She had diabetic retinopathy.
Yeah. And that goes to prove that a lot of times diabetes can be diagnosed in the chair at your optometrist.
That's right.
Yeah.
And diabetes can cause vision in both eyes to change even if you don't have retinopathy. Rapid changes in your blood sugar can affect the shape of your lens. So the lens can swell and the image on the retina will be out of focus. Or if you have more tissue on one side of the, or more sugar on one side of the tissue than the other, it can also cause swelling in the retina. So after your blood sugar stabilizes, the image will be back in focus and you can reduce episodes of blurred vision by maintaining good control of your blood sugar.
Okay. Now, of course, it's diabetics that are the ones that risk for diabetic retinopathy, but there are various forms of diabetes. Do all of those play in?
Yes, they do. And first is type 1 diabetes, which is usually diagnosed in children and young adults and previously known as juvenile diabetes, where the body does not produce insulin. But there are adults who come down with type 1 diabetes. Type 2 diabetes is the most common form of diabetes, and either the body doesn't produce enough insulin or the body's cells ignore the insulin. And gestational diabetes is when blood sugar levels or glucose becomes elevated during pregnancy in women who have never had diabetes before. Gestational diabetes starts when the mother's body is not able to make and use all the insulin it needs during pregnancy. People with any type of diabetes can develop hyperglycemia, which is an excess of blood sugar or serum glucose. Although sugar or glucose is a vital source of energy for the body's cells, a chronic elevation of it causes damage throughout the body, including the small blood vessels in the eyes, and as I said before, in the kidneys too.
Yeah, so it's all about that balance.
Yes.
So diabetic retinopathy, I'm sure, has some risk factors. Could you tell us about those?
Sure. Several factors can influence the development and the severity of diabetic retinopathy, including blood sugar levels. It's still very important to control your blood sugar And that's the key risk factor that you can affect. You can make it change. Lower blood sugar levels can delay the onset and slow the progression of diabetic retinopathy. Blood pressure is another thing. A major clinical trial demonstrated that effectively controlling blood pressure reduces the risk of retinopathy progression and vision deterioration. High blood pressure damages your blood vessels too, causing the chance for eye problems. So they target blood pressure for most people. The target is like 130 over 80.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the length of time of diabetes is also a risk factor for developing diabetic retinopathy or having your disease progress and increase over time. And as I said, 10 to 15 years after you're diabetic, that's typically when you see it. And after 15 years, 80% of type 1 patients will have diabetic retinopathy. After 19 years, up to 84% of patients with type 2 diabetes will have diabetic retinopathy. You need to watch your blood lipid levels, cholesterol and triglycerides, because elevated blood lipids can lead to greater accumulation of exudates, protein deposits that leak into the retina. And this condition is associated with a higher risk of moderate vision loss. Ethnicity. While diabetic retinopathy can occur to anyone with diabetes, certain ethnic groups are at higher risk, and they are more likely to have diabetes. And as I said before, these include African Americans, Latinos, and Native Americans. And pregnancy. Being pregnant can cause changes to your eyes. If you have diabetes and become pregnant, your risk for diabetic retinopathy increases. If you already have diabetic retinopathy, it may progress. However, some studies have suggested that with treatment, these changes are reversed after you give birth, and there is no increase in long-term progression of the disease.
We're going to take another quick break here on For the Sake of Your Eyes. And when we come back, Dr. Wendy Strauss-Watt will share some eye examination guidelines with us in regards to diabetic retinopathy.
This is Dr. Wendy Strauss-Watt with an eye care message for the sake of your eyes. Everyone starts to experience changes in their vision in their 40s. It's called presbyopia, and there's a decreased ability to focus on near objects. Activities like reading, sewing, and driving may become increasingly difficult. There are many ways to correct this: glasses, contacts, and even refractive surgery. With regular eye exams, problems can be detected early and proper treatments prescribed to ensure good vision. Don't delay. Make an appointment today. Dr. Wendy Strauss-Watt, DuBois Vision Clinic, 90 Beaver Drive, DuBois, 371-2020.
Dr. Wendy, thank you for sharing all the information today about diabetics and their eye health, and especially diabetic retinopathy, which occurs. Now, if people get this diagnosis, you mentioned they not only get the diagnosis of diabetic retinopathy, but sometimes even that they are diabetics when they go see the eye doctor. Tell us about the different guidelines of seeing an eye doctor in regards to this.
Sure. The only way to detect diabetic retinopathy and to monitor its progression is through a comprehensive eye exam, through dilation, or there's new cameras that you don't use dilation, but you see out to 200 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, when you dilate, it's about 45 degrees.
Okay.
So we can see hemorrhages and things that we would have never seen before.
Wow.
And they're digital pictures that you can show the patient, and then they understand more and of what's going on.
Yeah.
But when they should schedule an eye exam, because diabetic retinopathy usually takes years to develop, it's important to have regular eye exams. And people with type 2 diabetes may be living with the disease for some time before they're diagnosed. It's important that they are seen right away. But if you schedule yearly appointments, we can keep track of that.
Sure.
The ophthalmologist can, and optometrists also can. And typically for type 1 diabetes, within 5 years of being diagnosed, you should be checked and then yearly. I would actually recommend yearly.
Mm-hmm.
If we start to see changes, maybe every 6 months.
Yeah.
Type 2 diabetes is at the time of diagnosis of diabetes and then yearly. And during pregnancy, pregnant women with diabetes should schedule an appointment with their eye doctor in the first trimester, because retinopathy can progress quickly during pregnancy. but you only get two eyes, and it's best to stay on top of it. And having an eye exam, people hate being dilated, and I have a camera, OptiMap, which it sees out to 200 degrees, and we can take a picture without dilating, and we can do that and follow the progression, and it's right there in front of us, and we can compare to your last pictures, and it's a really good way of following diabetes.
Sounds very convenient. And how can they make that appointment with you?
Well, they call the office at 814-371-2020. And the office is at 90 Beaver Drive. At the stop sign, you turn right, and it's a back building with a capital D on it for dog. And there's a glass door. You go in the front door, and it's the first door on the right.
Okay. Thank you so much. You have been listening to For the Sake of Your Eyes with Dr. Wendy Strauss-Watt of the Du Bois Vision Clinic. Dr. Wendy, thank you, and have a great day.
You too. Thanks.